this world. Could this be that real love I've been missing? Before I met you, let me tell you, baby, you're out of this world. My kind of girl, you knock me out. Oh, baby, could this be that real love I've been feeling? When I'm with you, you know you're out of this world. My kind of girl, you knock me out. Baby, you knock me out.
Tahu Genser is a traditional dish from Cirebon, West Java. Made from fried tofu cut into small pieces and served with a distinctive sauce. The sauce is a mixture of palm sugar, tamarind, shallots, garlic, and chili, giving it a sweet, sour, and spicy flavor. This dish is typically served on a small plate or in a mortar and enjoyed as a snack. Tahu Genser is a popular culinary delight, commonly found in traditional markets and street vendors across West Java.
Something beautiful. vision, trembling in a sea, you're all that can intoxicate. Oceans and engines, you're skilled at infringing on gray love affairs. Cause now my heart's home, all I've known is long gone and 10,000 miles away, and I'm not.
Yeah. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome to VOI Talk that presents you current affairs from Indonesia. And today, we're discussing a serious issue affecting thousands of Indonesians in the United States. Under the latest immigration policy of U.S. President Donald Trump, over 4,000 Indonesians are now listed under the final order of removal, meaning they face deportation. So to find out the details about this issue, joining us today's sources, Charles Defers of the Indonesian Embassy in Washington, D.C. We greet the first one. We have Bapak Sade Bimantara. Good morning from Jakarta, Bapak Sade.
Good morning. Good morning, Mbak. Good morning, Pak Hadi. Apa kabar?
Baik. Terima kasih, Pak Sade.
Thank you so much for joining us on VOI Talk. And the second one, we have Chair of the Center for International Law Studies Faculty of Law, Universitas Indonesia, Pak Hadi Rahmat Purnama. Good morning, Mr. Hadi.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to VOI Talk, gentlemen. We are now here to talk about, like what I said before, about the latest immigration policy of President Donald Trump that also affects Indonesian citizens in the United States of America. So for the details about this issue, could you explain to our listeners and viewers what is actually happening following the policy of President Donald Trump, Bapak Sade?
Thank you, Mbak Rahma. Since the inauguration of President Donald Trump, January 20th, the U.S. government, in particular the Immigration Customs Enforcement, has been enforcing immigration rules, over overstayers, for people who have overstayed their visa or people who do not have the required documentation and are now living in the United States. And there are hundreds of thousands of undocumented people living their life here. Majority of the people, they are here to do work and does not involve in any criminal activities except for not having the proper visa or proper documentation. Indonesians included in this category. Now we have obtained information from the U.S. government, from ICE, that about 4,276 Indonesians, individuals, are on the list of people that are targeted for deportation that are on that list. And our mission here in the U.S., our embassy and also consulate generals, 5 consulate generals in New York, Houston, Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., and New York, we are working day and night to reach out to Indonesian nationals in the U.S., give them information on what are their rights, and sharing also the hotline of the Indonesian missions here in the U.S., and also linking them with lawyers here in the U.S., American-Indonesian lawyers and Indonesian lawyers who are practicing here in the United States.
Okay, and Pak Sade, what about the case of Indonesian citizens? Any cases of Indonesian citizens on this list that have been revealed?
So far, we have 4 Indonesians who have been detained and 1 person who has left the country on his own free will and on his own budget. And those 3 people now are awaiting deportation, and they are in the Atlanta area and also in the New York area. And so these are the people that we have been notified. We have been notified about one person, and then the other three person, we have obtained information from their family members, their loved ones, and their friends who have reached out to our missions here in the U.S. to tell them about their siblings or their loved ones who has been detained by the authorities.
But what is actually the obstacles for them to handle the documentation to file?
So, on three of these cases, what we know is that some of them, they are already on the list of people not having documents, right? And on at least a couple of occasions, those two have a routine check-in with immigration officials and immigration officers, right? And they've been doing these check-ins for many, many years, right? But this time around, I think the tactics of the ICE, the authorities, the immigration authorities here in the U.S., is that even though they are only checking in for the immigration, they are being detained and then deported. In the past, it was just checking in to the immigration office and then they came back to their home awaiting their status. Perhaps they are transitioning from undocumented to having a legal permit to stay and work here in the U.S., which is a common thing to have to experience here in the U.S. for thousands and thousands of undocumented migrants here in the U.S. But in this case, when they check in, the authorities detain them and prepare them for their deportation.
To Bapak Hadi, so how do you see the legal force of this final order of removal? How do you see this policy?
Okay, thank you. I think this is policy of the President Donald Trump is move away from the previous administrations of the President Joe Biden in the regard of concerning the issues of immigration. And I think this is something that has been promised, I think, by Trump during his campaign to become a president of the United States. However, the final order is part of the executive order of the U.S. president, which is it's legally binding, of course. And then, of course, this is something that there's quite number of undocumented immigrants around the world, not only in the U.S., but other countries such as in Europe, like Netherlands, Germany, and so on and so forth. However, I think this is something that become the policy now for the Trump administrations regarding the immigrations. And then, in particular, this is the executive order. However, this process is in terms of U.S. Legal system is something that's very common, especially when, of course, president has his power to regulate certain issues, including the issues of the immigration. However, the process is very, of course, this is also very important to look at because we know that there's so many Indonesians living in U.S. which don't have any proper documentations, and this is something has been become an issue. Yeah, I think also it's also become an issue for the U.S. Indonesian embassy in the U.S. and especially the consulate in protecting Indonesian citizens in the United States. And then I think this is also the same thing also whether in different countries, which is this is part of the the power that has been fisted into the U.S. president.
And do you think this status binding that foreign citizens who are on the list must leave the country?
Yes, of course. In any country, especially in the immigration law, whether in the U.S. or in Indonesia, if someone enter into the country illegally and then overstay, of course, or violating the visa, this is can be categorized as the crime against the immigration. So Indonesia also applies such things, especially for the foreign citizens who are illegally came to Indonesia. We detain them. And then, of course, this is in the U.S., it's, you know, U.S. So-called the country or a state that have, you know, have a, you know, people can, you know, have a dream, you know, the American dream. So so that kind of things attract people to come to the U.S. And then if you look at the U.S. history, most of the U.S. citizens now are immigrants, actually, come from all over the world. So, I mean, this is these issues, and then issue labor in the U.S. is also something that attract people to come to the U.S. because, you know, there is quite number of jobs that doesn't, you know, done by the U.S. citizen, which is become attractive to the immigrant. However, of course, this is also very important to look at the law itself. I mean, the immigration law, especially regarding this final order of removal, is focusing on first the undocumented immigrant, and then also for the criminals, and then for someone who violated the visa. Because, you know, in the U.S. it's very strict regarding the visa. If you have a working visa, you have to work. If you have a study visa, you have to study. So you cannot work, and so on and so forth. Because I was studied in U.S., so I know exactly how the visa works. And then, of course, this is also something that to prevent, like Trump said during his campaign, is that this is something that they want to keep out, you know, the job, yeah, from you know, foreign people, and keep the job only for the U.S. citizen. So this is kind of things that you know, the promise during the campaigns that putting up into the law.
But Pak Sade, what if citizens, I mean Indonesian citizens in U.S., do not intentionally undocumented, but they have filed applications to complete the documents, but there are any obstacles to complete it? So how is it?
Okay, first of all, any Indonesians who come to the United States are, of course, encouraged to have proper documentations and proper visas, proper work permits and other, and current work permit, visas and documentation. And I just would like to share you some statistics, right? And at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that, and you mentioned that more than 4,000 Indonesian are on that non-detained docket list from ICE. And out of the more than 1.4 million people who are on that non-detained docket list, Indonesians are only 0.3% of that whole population. So that's fact number one. Indonesians make up a very, very small number of all the undocumented people here in U.S. Number two, another fact is that the majority of Indonesians here in U.S., the figures are around 66,000, and we we think that there are at least 120,000 people, Indonesians here in the U.S. The majority of Indonesians here in the U.S., they are law-abiding citizens who are working and earn a living and contributing to the U.S. economy, documented and undocumented alike, right? That's fact number two. And fact number three, a number of those undocumented Indonesians have been already on their path towards having the proper and legal documentations, right? And they have been, have been observing the law in terms of having to report to the immigration office, to the ICE office, routinely, checking in, and then having that pathway towards legal documentation and legal status here in the U.S. Now, with this new Trump administration policy that Pak Hadi mentioned that they are changing from the Biden administration, they are going after the so-called low-hanging fruit. Those people who are observing, the law, undocumented, but still they report routinely to the ICE office, but now they are being detained instead of checking in and then releasing them back to their home, to their work, awaiting for their status, legal status here in the U.S. But now what is happening is that people are being detained on their routine check and being separated from their families, from their communities here in the U.S. And so this is what our embassy and all of our consul generals are working with the U.S. authorities, working with Indonesian diasporas, working with the lawyers and attorneys to ensure that we protect the rights of Indonesian citizens here in the U.S.
And what about the current activities in the embassy following this policy, like more hectic or like what?
We have been preparing a number of steps, initiatives, and measures together with the five consulate generals here in the U.S. Among them is reaching out to the Indonesian community here in the U.S. For example, we work with the American Indonesian Lawyers Association just a couple of weeks ago, who held a webinar that attracted about 500 people, Indonesians, diaspora here in the U.S., and the lawyers shared about the rights. So know your rights in the event that they face immigration authorities, what they should do, who should they call, the lawyers, attorneys, and how they can reach the hotline of Indonesian missions here in the U.S. We have a hotline for emergency issues that the Indonesians in the United States can call on and get assistance.
Thank you so much, Pak Sadi. And what about the legal solution to this situation? We will be addressing this later after this next song. So please do stay tuned on VOI Talk, Indonesians at Risk in America, only on voinews.id, at RE Digital mobile app channel VOI, and also live on our YouTube channel VOI Official.
Saudara beragam warna.
for still joining us, VOI Talk on voinews.id, RRA Digital Mobile App Channel, VOI, and YouTube channel live on VOI Official. Still talking about Indonesians at risk in America following the latest immigration policy of President Donald Trump, in which over 4,000 Indonesians are listed under the final order of removal. And we are still with Chart Affairs of the Indonesian Embassy in Washington, D.C., Bapak Sade Bimantara, and Chair of the Center for International Law Studies, Faculty of Law, Universitas Indonesia, Bapak Hadi Rahmat Purnama. Thank you for still being with us, Bapak Sade and Bapak Hadi. Okay. And we are still talking about, like what I said before, the immigration policy of President Trump, and now we are talking about the legal solution to this situation. Bapak Hadi, please, what do you think about this?
The legal solutions of this kind of problem or issue is, of course, to follow the U.S. Law and regulations, which is that's most the important thing. And then, of course, there is a process, if I'm not mistaken, when I read the executive order, that I think any undocumented or someone that can be categorized in the is executive order of removal is that they have like 90 days for their process, and then they kind of have this like small court of immigrations, which is that depends on, of course, of the on the persons whether or not they want to be go back to their own countries, or for, of course, for Indonesian citizens, go back to Indonesia. As far as Sade mentions, that they can pay themselves to go back to Indonesia, or of course they being deported. But as far as my understanding is that both of them, both of these kind of actions is same thing in the legal term in the U.S. They both being deported, the term that they use, whether they backed by themselves or being deported by the U.S. government. So this situation is something that I think need to be, of course, people who live in the country who already work, as Pak Sade mentions, and have the family and so on and so forth, of course they already have their life in the in the U.S. This has become an issue. I think we cannot look at this only from the issues of the law itself, but we also look at this on from the human rights perspective. One of the most important thing in this kind of situation is that you cannot look at a person or a people just goods that can be sent back to where they come from, but this is humans, right? They have family, they have work, they have life in the United States. So I think it's also important, has been done by the Indonesian embassy in the United States and other consulates in different cities in the U.S., is that they give support for them by having a lawyer to protect their rights, because it's very important. And then I think U.S. For the U.S. Protecting individuals' rights is also very important for the U.S. itself. I mean, for that kind of situations, by having a lawyers and then look at the situations, of course, there are different situations for each person, right? And then how to protect themselves by have a lawyer who know, for example, like immigration law better, and to protect their rights, of course, as a person, it's also very important. And I think I have to say that I'm very appreciate what has been done by Indonesian government through the Indonesian embassy in the U.S. to protect Indonesian citizens wherever they are, including in the U.S. And this kind of protections, of course, they have to follow what has been determined under the law of immigration in the U.S.
And why do you think President Trump applied this policy?
I think this policy is kind of like spillover of bigger policies. One of the bigger policy is, of course, since the Trump become a president in the before Biden, he has his own period of administration before Biden. Trump is always mentions about the issues of immigrants that take the job of the U.S. citizens. And then, of course, the issues of borders, especially in the southern part of the U.S. Territory, which are Mexico, which is quite a number of illegal immigrants comes from different countries in the South America. So actually, that's the bigger issues that has been faced, you know, by the U.S., or at least according to the President Trump on that regard. And then, of course, in terms of when you make the law, you cannot make a discrimination, right? So especially on the illegal immigrant, it's not only come from the U.S., but it's come from different countries. Most illegal immigrant in the U.S. not only come from the South of America, but come also from different countries, right? And then including from Indonesia, there are some immigrants who come undocumented into the U.S. So these kind of situations, I think it becomes spillover. Not the bigger picture that we have to look at is that how to remove this quite number of people who come as a illegal immigrant or undocumented immigrant that come from the South America rather than from other countries. So having regulation which is not discriminated, and then, you know, of course, as mentioned by Pasade, it's only small numbers for Indonesian citizens who are in the United States, especially that can be categorized in the final order of removal. So this has become the spillover of the biggest of the bigger regulations or bigger policy that Trump has regarding the immigration issues. And I think it's not only for Indonesian, I think other country also facing the same kind of situation. The immigrant from different country also facing the same situations in the U.S.
Okay, and to Pak Sade, what would you like to say to Indonesian citizens in the United States of America to appeal them to avoid potential problems, just like the other citizens that have happened before?
Sure. Before answering that question, Rama, I just would like to share you a number of data and statistics that in the U.S. there are about 13.7 million immigrants that are undocumented, right? And some of these undocumented immigrants have legal or procedural protection from deportation, including those children who are in the DACA program, deferred action for children here in the U.S. And also, there are a number of economic benefits to the U.S. economy of having 13.7 million immigrants here in the U.S. undocumented, but they contribute a lot to the U.S. economy. One is increased labor force, thus lowering the wages here in the U.S. And also lowering inflation here in the U.S. because they are working at a more affordable cost for the employers. And second, their increased consumer spending, because those immigrants, they earn a living and they use that money to spend. And where do they spend? Here in the U.S. to buy consumer goods, to buy houses, to buy cars, and others. And tax revenue, they pay taxes. And you know what? They do not get any benefits of Medicare, Medicaid, and other benefits from the government because they are undocumented. And improve workforce skills. Those are among some of the benefits of the immigrant, that immigrant community here contribute in the U.S. And to answer your question, for the Indonesians already living here, please stay calm and, be close and also reach out to other community members here in the U.S. and also reach out to your own attorneys and lawyers and reach out to us. We have an embassy here and five consulate generals in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, LA, and Houston. We have a website with the hotlines of numbers to call in case of emergency. And check out our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and other social media for information about your rights and also about other policies that may impact your life here in the U.S.
Okay, Bapak Sade Bimantara, thank you so much for your insight and also your information that must be so beneficial for all of us, especially Indonesian citizens in the USA. And to Bapak Hadi Rahmat Purnama, Chair of the Center for International Law Studies, Faculty of Law, Universitas Indonesia, thank you so much as well to you to join us on VOI Talk and share about your insight as well. Hopefully, Indonesian embassies, consul generals, diaspora, all of Indonesians in the U.S., they can go hand in hand to face this policy smoothly. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mbak Rama.
Thank you so much.
Terima kasih.
Good morning.
Well, listeners, that's today's VOI Talk, Indonesians at Risk in America. Stay tuned for more insightful interviews only on VOI Talk on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services, English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voinews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Pergi-pergi itu saja. Di dalam nyanyian hati. Indonesia.
Listener, on this edition of Pelangin Nada, we present a keroncong song entitled Satu Bulan sung by Keroncong Atap. The song tells the story of a couple who have just broken up, with the point of view of the woman who is still trying to accept and process the loss of the man she loves. The lyrics are simple but full of meaning, describing a woman's feeling of being down after a breakup while her ex seems to be doing just fine. This song, created and popularized by Bernadia Ripka Jayakusuma, was released in 2023, and here is Keroncong Atap with the Keroncong song entitled Satu Bulan.
Belum ada satu bulan, ku yakin masih ada sisa wangiku di bajumu. Namun kau tampak baik saja, bahkan senyummu lebih lepas. Sedang aku di sini hampir gila. Kita tak temukan jalan. Sepakat akhir isa telah beribu debat tajam.
Line first, the headline. Indonesia working on national AI service. Indo Defense Expo and Forum planned in June. Now the news in detail.
Indonesia
Chairman of the National Economic Council, Luhut Bin Sarpanjaitan, announced his team had enlisted several young Indonesian talents to develop an artificial intelligence service. He noted that the young talents are scheduled to present their digital project to President Prabowo Subianto in the next 2 weeks. The former coordinating minister for maritime affairs and investment informed the media that the AI-powered digital platform will offer services in both Indonesian and English. The biennial Indo Defense Expo and Forum is set to be held in June this year, according to the Ministry of Defense. While addressing the press at his office in Jakarta on Tuesday, head of the Ministry's Information Bureau, Brigadier General Frega Ferdinand Wenas in Kiriwang, noted the event was originally planned for November 2024 but was postponed due to elections. In Kiriwang edit, the event will offer Indonesia a valuable opportunity to promote the national defense industry and serve as a platform for defense diplomacy. And that was Newsline.
Besok sampai selamanya, kita buka mata bersama, melihat pagi yang berbeda, dari arah terbit yang sama. Dingin malam takkan menyakitkan lagi. Ada temanku melihat bintang. Kini setelah sang ibunda, kau jadi selanjutnya yang terpaksa terima hari buruku dengan tertawa. Sebentar saja, tiga hari lah paling lama. Semua hal sama selera, karena berbeda lengkap kita. Jika terluka tetap percaya lagi.